Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Big 12 Nation. It's the end of the year, bowl review. Cedar is strong in Texas right now, tearing my nose up. But it's better than being up north where it's freezing cold. So give me a second. I want to first say congratulate Big 12. I mean, we did great in the bowl games. I didn't think we would do as well as we did. I mean, Coach Snyder finding a way to beat Texas A&M. That was awesome. Oklahoma State beating Colorado. Oklahoma State was our second biggest, best team. The second best team in the Pac-12 was Colorado. They both were in championship games. So we did a heck of a job in bowl games this year. I am very impressed with the Big 12. I was a little disappointed in TCU losing to Georgia, but, I mean, hey, they fought them, and, you know, they came up short. Let's see, what other bowl games did we have? Oh, Oklahoma. Put the beat down on Auburn. So, I mean, Big 12 was good, man. This was best bowl season I have ever seen. We did a phenomenal job of competing and kicking teams' butts. First, let's talk about Kansas State, because nobody ever thought that Kansas State would beat Texas A&M. Most people thought Kansas State would be 7-5, 6-6, and barely get to a bowl game. Not only did they get to a bowl game, they got to the Texas Bowl against A&M, who everybody had in the original college football playoff. In addition to that, finishing 9-4. And honestly, guys, K-State could have very easily been second place in the Big 12. I mean, Oklahoma State barely escaped with a win in Manhattan early this year. Honestly, had the referees not called a couple calls, K-State would have won that game. And a tiny bit of mismanagement of the clock towards the end, I think they should have thrown a couple more times instead of trying to run the ball in, and I think they would have had their chances. But a couple penalties, a couple misjudged, you know, clock issues, K-State's, you know, second-place team. And I think K-State beats Colorado, too. So it really doesn't matter. The story is Oklahoma put the beatdown on the so-called SEC Auburn that's so great. First thing we got to talk about, obviously, is Joe Mixon. I'm not one of those people that's going to beat a dead horse and think he's the worst person on the planet Earth. Things happen, guys. And in a spur of the moment, I don't know what I would do if somebody punched me. Sometimes you just react. Yeah, people say you should never hit a girl, but, you know, there's a lot of times when somebody punches you, you simply just punch them back. It's a reaction thing. And we can get into a big argument about it, but I don't want to. I hated the fact that they brought it up again because it happened 2 years ago. Sometimes you just want stuff to be in the past. I'm sure even the girl is probably ready for it to go away because she realized it was 2 years ago. And she's sick and tired of it. And I'm sure Joe Mixon is sick and tired of it. All these people who say he shouldn't go to the NFL and all these other things, I would love to see. First of all, let me talk about some of the things I saw in Orange Bloods and Hook'em and all these other blogs. People talk about Art Brown's second chance and not deserving and disgusting and all these other things. It really sickens me, and it's really starting to piss me off. One, you people who write these blogs, see, at Big12Nation.com, the hell with that political correct bullcrap. We don't do that. We just fair. We treat every situation different. Here's the frustrating things about this situation, guys. Think about this logically. They say Art Briles doesn't deserve a second chance. They say Art Briles did this. It's so egregious. As I said in previous episodes, Art Briles is not a forensic file investigator. He doesn't have a fish hook or a pair of tongs that magically grab his player's penises, they're about to do something that's not supposed to do. So it's a little irrational in the first place to think that a football coach is supposed to be able to report a crime when he's not into policing. He's into coaching football. Two, the stupidest thing about all this is all these people who are saying this is scary or if he gets this job, this doesn't look good. What the hell do you people do in your regular life to tell me who's a good person and who's a bad person? See, the thing about most of these media members that do all this stuff, they're the biggest pieces of trash, biggest pieces of crap outside of writing on their blog. They think just writing on a blog or saying something, you're supposed to listen to it. And it's sad to me that as soon as ESPN puts something out or somebody puts something on a website, everybody just jumps on whatever they say and goes with it. If you wasn't there in that particular situation, if you didn't see exactly what went on with your own eyes, don't sit there and say about what somebody could have done better. Because every day you get in your car, you cut somebody off, or you don't let somebody out of the light, something that you could have done better. Or you see somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire, that you could have done better. So I'm tired of everybody acting like what Art Briles could have done better, and who the hell do these people think they are to tell somebody when another human being deserves a second chance? And on what merit do I listen to you? Are you God? Do you judge good and evil? Are you a perfect person? Matter of fact, most of you people in the media are probably the worst people, as I said earlier. If you write a letter to a college football coach, he will write back to you most of the time, or have his staff write back to you. Go write a letter to one of them jackasses that write for one of them ESPN blogs or one of those daggone newspapers that say something so egregious. Those arrogant assholes won't even respond to you. Excuse my language, but I just had to say that. Because they tell you about how this coach missed this email and missed that email. How many emails do you think those jackholes are doing? Ignore every day. Tired of the rhetoric on all these blogs, like thinking that what they write is going to scare athletic departments, which essentially is the reason why the Trump effect happened. Is because people are tired of media members and other people who don't live in reality trying to tell you how you should judge another human being. Because everybody who lives in reality, not this fake media world, understand there's two sides of each story. Understand that if the situation that happened at Baylor happened, that Art Briles has a daughter and a wife. And last we checked, he wasn't out raping no girls. And even one of the people that was accused of doing it, the victims, quote-unquote, said that they willingly lay in the bed next to each other. Now, let's, nobody's saying you should rape nobody, but it's just like, guys, come on, man. You know nobody is inviting you if you've been to college or if you haven't been to college. I'm going to tell you how it is when you go to college real quick before I get back to these other bowl games. When you go to college, you're getting away from your parents for the first time. You get privacy. There's no male on a college campus that's attracted to you that's going to invite you back to his dorm room to play footsies or to play laser tag or some bullshit. If he invites you back to his dorm room, he wants to get something done, and most likely a sexual way. So if you know that, and most girls know that, because I went to college and I've seen how girls throw it at you all the time. And when they get in it, and when they get mad and they don't get what they want, they can lie. I see with my own eyes girls who are just regular guys who would take them out on dates and hold their hand walking down campus, totally diss them, and then go do whatever athlete does in one night and then get mad when he doesn't call her back. Or she essentially just becomes the girl that the athletes call when they want some. She just one of their hoes that they pass around just to be cool with the football team or just to hang around the football team. I see it happen all the time. So I look at these situations totally different because I've seen it. I went to a Division I school, and I see in my own eyes how girls act towards athletes and how they act towards regular guys. And for all you people to say that's no way to treat a woman and all this other stuff, these girls put themselves in these positions. They know what the deal is. They're not stupid. So if you rape somebody like Darren Sharper did, then yes, you deserve to go to jail. Because if the girl doesn't want to do it, she doesn't want to do it. But if it's this so-so, I was consensual for 5 minutes, then 2 minutes later I changed my mind in the middle of moaning and telling them to slap my ass, you know, it just gets a little silly at that point. And I'm going to leave it at that. Now, Oklahoma dominated that Auburn game. And I'm going to say right now that the best conferences this year, one was the ACC. All right, all year long people were skeptical about the ACC. They didn't know all that stuff. The ACC, and here at Big 12 Nation, we can be fair, we can be honest. The ACC was the best conference. They beat Alabama in the national championship game. They beat the Big Ten's best team in the Final Four, and they also beat the Big Ten's de facto second-best team, Michigan, when Florida State beat them in the Orange Bowl. So, and there's a bunch of other games I can name where the NC State beat Vanderbilt, which is the SEC team. So at the end of the day, that was a great job done by the ACC conference. They were the number one conference. The only team that looked bad was Louisville losing to LSU. Second best conference, I'm going to say, is the Big 12. Our conference, guys. Why? How well we did in the bowl games. I think we lost one bowl game, and that was TCU losing to Georgia. Other than that, K-State beat Texas A&M, underdog. Oklahoma was an underdog because Auburn was an SEC team. Oklahoma State destroyed the Pac-12's second-best team. And we were Oklahoma State was the second-best team in the Big 12. And after that, we got – what do I got? We got Kansas State won. Oklahoma State won. TCU lost to Baylor. Can't forget about Baylor since I was ragging on our pals. Baylor went out and whooped Boise State. Boise State is usually that New Year's 16 that everybody says can compete with anybody. Everybody thought that was going to be a competitive, high-scoring game. Coach Phil Bennett had the defense ready. They put the smackdown on Boise State. Boise State did not compete with that game. They scored a late touchdown when they had second stringers in, probably some even third stringers, just rotating with like 3 minutes left. Most of that game was like 31-0. It didn't even look like Boise State could compete. And I don't want to hear anybody's excuse about all it was because of New Year's Six. Baylor dominated that game. And I'm glad Coach Albro went out on top like that because he did a heck of a job. Even though they started off 6-0 and they slid after that. And I also want to give hats off to the players that dedicated the game to Albro. You know, he deserved that. He built that team. And anybody who tries to blackball these players or blackball these coaches because they're supportive of the guy who gave them opportunity is just a foul human being. Just a foul human being. Because you don't get to dictate what my righteousness is. You don't get to dictate what's righteous and what's not righteous. And that's when we keep coming into a problem with in America. There's too many people trying to dictate what's righteous. Last night, guys, I watched the Big 12 basketball game. It was Texas A&M versus who the heck was Texas A&M playing? I can't think. It's on the tip of my tongue. But the A&M player went up for a layup. And while he's going for the layup, he's in midair, and the guy jumps up and tries to block it. He hits him in the nose accidentally, and they call flagrant on him. Now, what kind of crazy stuff have we gotten into now when you're in midair trying to put the ball up, and now you get a flagrant call on you, even when you accidentally hit somebody? It's like the media has made stuff so soft and made stuff so uptight that you can't even play the game anymore. The game isn't even physical anymore, basketball or football. Every little thing is called. Every little thing is a cheap shot. Everything is dirty. There's no toughness no more. And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take the fun out of the game. And eventually the NCAA and some of these athletic directors are going to have to step up, and they're going to start to fix some of these rules. Because my biggest problem, like I said before, was when I watched the NC State bowl game versus, who was it, Stanford? No, excuse me, the UNC bowl game versus Stanford. and the referee knocks the ball out of the quarterback's hand. And they still call it a fumble, guys. And you know what their excuse was? That the referee is a part of the damn field. So let me get this straight. If somebody pushes a button and the damn carpet comes up and it trips me, then you just say you were tackled because the turf is a part of the field? No, that means that it was some type of interference. So that's something that should be looked into in the offseason instead of this other dumb stuff where they hit everybody for every little petty target. The referee knocks my hand, the ball out of my hand, that's referee interference. Either we put the ball down where he knocks it out at, or we replay it down. A human being can't get in my way while I'm on the field, and then you say the referee's a part of the field. That's irrational as hell. How can a referee be part of the field? He's a damn human being. So to me, those are the problems. When a referee can cause a fumble, and then you say he's a part of the field, that's the most illogical, stupidest thing I've ever heard of. So at any time the referee can push the ball out your hand, and they say, oh, that's a fumble. Come on, y'all. But nobody's concentrating on that. We're just concentrating on these dumb issues of these fake social justice warriors, of people who ain't perfect their damn self. So, it's been a blast. Big 12 Nation, I'll be back signing today. Here and there I'll do a Big 12 basketball game, or obviously in March when the tournament heats up. We'll do some Big 12 Nation talk with basketball. But other than that, guys, been a fun, phenomenal football season. Started off rough with Oklahoma losing those games to Houston and Ohio State. But as the year went on and to see our postseason performance in the bowl games, it really looks like the Big 12 was the top two or three conference, and I'm proud of our performance. Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor, all you guys, congratulations on your bowls. And congratulations to one of the greatest coaches ever, Bill Snyder. Phenomenal job in Manhattan, Kansas again. I can't wait till next year. Thank you guys so much. Big 12 Nation, I'll be back. We'll sign a day, and we'll talk about the top signing classes. And we'll see where Texas goes with Tom Herman, and how Gary Patterson recruits, and how he gets Kenny Hill some more weapons in Fort Worth. We'll also see how Baylor does with Coach Rule, who he gets recruited. We know Mike Gundy. We know Bob Stoops is going to do a good job. We know Bill Snyder is going to find those guys that you never heard of, and they're going to kick your butt on Saturdays in the fall. And we'll see what Kansas does with Coach Betty. So this is Big 12 Nation. You guys have a nice, cold rest of January. And I'll see you right before Super Bowl Sunday. We talk about signing day or sometime in that area. Obviously, we'll get into a little more coming close to March Madness time. Have a good one, Big12Nation.com. Also, I want to say real quick, Big12Nation.com, close of the year, Dana Holgorsen. Dana Holgorsen did a great job this year at West Virginia. No, they didn't finish well versus Miami in the bowl game, but he did a great job coaching. So that was something I needed to say. Congrats, Coach Holgorsen. I know you didn't finish in the bowl game, but you got double-digit wins up there in Mountain Town or Morgantown, West Virginia, Mountaineer Country. Have a good one. BigSoulNation.com. Thank you. Bye.